America and to all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to a not yet post-net neutrality episode of Let's Weekend, also known as Black Friday. Post-Black Friday, anyway. Yeah. I, of course, am your host for the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofrio and Patrick Mifflin. Chris Sologi may be along later on, probably about an hour from now. We'll see.
Yeah, he got caught up with, you know, work and stuff.
Yeah. Because guess what? We actually do have day jobs.
Some of us. Yep.
So unlike, you know, normally when we've got like a deluge of stories, we don't actually have like a big deluge, but the ones we do have are pretty significant.
Yeah, some hard hitters.
Some serious hard hitters. Some that are kind of like, wow, I really saw this coming a mile away, but still. Hmm. And then others you really didn't. And let's just say you'll know the ones we're talking about when we get to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got, of course, everything about net neutrality. It has to be talked about. And of course,
and we will not shut up about it.
Yeah, and also because we got to talk a little bit about the current FCC chairman, who is just has. I never thought there would be a more punchable face than Martin Shkreli, but there you go. apparently, there's also a 1,000 times normal cloud of radiation that's covering most of Europe. Don't freak out just yet. It's not as serious as it sounds, but you'll see. Apparently a giant stone dong is hurtling outside of space towards Earth.
Okay.
I mean, you laugh, but...
Well, I've seen the photos, but it's not really... doesn't leave much to the imagination, let's put it that way.
Yeah. But that's going to be all that and more on this episode of Let's Weekend. So, to get started, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
It's pretty much been audiobooks. I finished Oathbringer, and it was fantastic. I really need to read that again, but I'm probably going to wait a couple more months to, till it all settles in a little bit, and then maybe go back and do another pass, because there's probably a lot in there that I might pick up the second time around that it went over my head the first time. So,
yep.
Yeah, good series. I can't wait for book four. You get a very, very in-depth insight into Dalinar in this book, which is really good because, he's like one of the main protagonists and always seems like a really good guy. Maybe in his younger days, not so much. So, that. Started on Artemis by Andy Weir.
It's his follow-up to The Martian.
Yeah, and it's pretty good so far.
Yeah. Let's be honest. He kind of had a... that's like, AC/DC following up Back in Black with For Those About to Rock. They had a lot to live up to.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about this particular novel is, like, it was actually rewritten. Because this isn't the novel that he was supposed to have released.
The other one he was supposed to release, I think it was called Jazz or something like that.
It was called Jack, and it was kind of a soft sci-fi, had like aliens.
It was a bit more conventional.
Yeah.
Sci-fi.
Yeah, and he got to like 70% of the way through that and then realized this is garbage. he started over, and after a few drafts, we ended up with Artemis, and it is a thing of beauty so far. If you like his that witty style that he's become famous for with The Martian is definitely present and accounted for here. Very, very fun read so far. So, and the audiobook is narrated by Rosario Dawson. So.
Rosario Dawson.
So, she's pretty cool. Anyway. That's been pretty much it for me as far as this week. I did a little, shopping here and there. I'll talk more in depth about that later.
All right. Pat, what about you?
I did some minor Black Fridaying. came away with Nier Automata because I feel it's pretty important that I get to play that before Game of the Year, which is coming up very quickly.
Yeah.
Just
spoilers alert, it's going to be my Game of the Year. Just
well, there we go.
Because I'm not going to be able to play Xenoblade Chronicles 2 until after Christmas, so.
Okay. Yeah, there are some games that I'm not going to get the chance to play, but I'm going to find a way to somehow try and evaluate them to find out if they deserve a spot on my list, because I'm sure some of them do.
Yeah, well, I did that with Mario Odyssey. You know, just I got a chance to play it, not as much as I would have liked to, but yeah, I did play it. And so
how'd you
that's
like
on
it?
My list. It's enjoyable, yeah.
Cool. Also, I sat down today and watched all 17 episodes thus far of King of Fighters Destiny. Actually not as bad as I'd heard. It's actually a pretty solid retelling thus far of Fatal Fury and King of Fighters 94 at the same time. And it looks like they intend to make it an ongoing thing because Iori Yagami shows up in the intro, even though he doesn't show up in the story until 95. So, looks like SNK might have a real ongoing thing here with KOF Destiny.
Yeah.
Also, been playing some Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite because once I actually got to sit down and play that game, I'm really thrilled with how it turned out. It's just a shame that it left such a bad first impression with that esports video from Capcom because they developed a really great fighting game here. So, you know, hopefully they can right the ship and, you know, earn back the goodwill that they lost. Because I... it's a Marvel game that I can play for the first time in years. And I'm quite pleased with it, so that's just been a part of my regular practice. I would like to get started on playing some other things, but I just cannot bring myself to remove Marvel from my PS4 at the moment. So that's how it's gone. I'm unlocking colors for characters and kind of feeling out how my team strategy is going to work when I start playing online more than I have. I've got my team figured out, but now I need to get some bread and butter combos sorted before I actually jump in with both feet.
Yeah.
So, I really like the team that I've put together. It's Jetta and Sigma with the Space Stone. So lots of spatial control, lots of sort of occupying territory on the screen. And it's been a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it a lot. And like I said before, there's some Game of the Year prep going on. To be completely honest, I think I've got my 10 games figured out, and it's just going to be a question of what order they go in.
Yeah.
So that's going to be quite the process as we move forward toward the holidays. So we'll see how it plays out. But that's been my week.
All right. Well, as for me, on top of Horizon Zero Dawn, I've also started playing Stardew Valley in earnest, and I finally get it now.
Okay.
After a couple days playing it, I'm like, okay, I understand the appeal of this now. It is a surprisingly fun farming simulator that has just a bunch of other stuff going along with it. You know, just there's an overall story arc. There's a nice group of characters that all have their sort of own character arcs. There's a mystery. There's a dungeon that you have to go through. Just all types of stuff. And there really is something weirdly satisfying about having that farm and keeping it up. I don't know what it is, but I guess it's just the feeling of success. So other than that, I did my sort of my book haul and this week, and I went and got two books by Alfred Bester, who is like one of those classic sci-fi writers from the 50s and 60s who sort of helped define sort of the modern science fiction genre. He's often considered to be one of the guys who helped sort of start the cyberpunk genre, like a good 20, 30 years before Gibson came out with Neuromancer. So the two books I got was, first one was probably his most famous book, the one that was actually won the very first Hugo Award for Best Novel all the way back in the 50s, called The Demolished Man. And it's basically a sort of a futuristic police procedural where all the cops are basically psychics and they can plumb a guy's subconscious and try to find out, you know, there's a person, he's pulled off a crime, he's pulled off a murder, and they're trying to find out how he did it. But he's basically a telepath, just like a bunch of other people in this world. And he does something in this book that he actually does with the other book I got with him, which is called Gollum 100. And he does a lot of things where what TV Tropes likes to call painting the medium, where he loves to do a lot of grammatical and font related tricks, where he moves the words around on the page and all these unique patterns to sort of simulate what it's like to be a telepath listening in to other people's conversations. And then the other one, which is Gollum 100, he actually gets a guy named Jack Gunn, who was an illustrator, to there's like a whole like 40-page sequence in that book that's basically illustrations with some sparse text thrown in that's meant to simulate a sort of subconscious multidimensional dive. And it's pretty fun stuff. It's really neat. Oh yeah, and of course I am still recovering from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think we all are, just
except me. Yeah.
Well, you guys had your Thanksgiving a couple of weeks early.
Yeah, that means he recovered already.
Yeah. But you know, the South, we don't fuck around when it comes to food, and I think I gained 6 pounds. So
that means you did it right.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
So I'm just sort of lying back, and I'm like, man, I could get up and get out of bed today, but
I could also stay here.
Yeah.
That sounds like a better plan. No.
Should I get up and go pee, or should I just pee in the bed? You know?
Okay. I won't ask what.
Yeah, that's a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's what I did. So you guys want to add anything before we move on?
No, I'm good.
All right, well, before we do our Brandon's Random Factoid, we're going to talk a little bit about our Black Friday hauls, what we managed to get this year. And just to start us off, I didn't get squat because I don't fucking deal with that shit.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Technically, I did get a copy of Yoon Ha Lee's Raven Stratagem, which is the second part of her Machineries of Empire trilogy. Well, I say her, his. It's his. Yoon Ha Lee is a trans man. I forgot to bring that up. So I accidentally misgendered you, Mr. God damn it, I did it again. But anyway.
Yeah.
I read the Nine Fox Gambit, which was the first book in that trilogy, and it was amazing. And I was like, fuck it, I got to keep doing this. So I got the second one, and that was pretty much my Black Friday haul in general. Otherwise, I basically made the decision to just stay inside and lock myself away from the murderous hordes.
Yeah. Well, I didn't go out and do any of that either, because I didn't really have to, because you could basically get really good deals online now. So that's pretty much what I did. Steam decided to do their Black Friday sale, and PSN is doing theirs, and Xbox is doing theirs. So it's like, yeah, I don't have to leave the house. So I picked up a copy of Stories, The Path of Destinies on Steam, and I gifted one to a friend, because that's a good game and he should probably play it. There's that. And also, because I have a guilty pleasure that I like Lucy Lawless, I picked up Xena Warrior Princess, the complete series on DVD, because why the hell not?
Yeah.
That must be quite the set. That show was aired for a while.
Yeah, 6 seasons, 30 DVDs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's pretty good. Not bad for, it was $60 for Black Friday, so not bad at all, really.
Yeah.
And that's, that was
six
mine.
Seasons, and they never, and through that whole time, people were like, are they or aren't they?
Yeah, it's like, they never actually say it outright, but yeah, they totally are.
There's subtext is so thick you can cut it with a knife.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
By the way, for those who are curious, at the end of the series, they did basically confirm it. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet. I actually haven't even gotten the set yet because I just ordered it yesterday. So,
yeah.
Looking forward to getting my hands on that and digging into it. So, then maybe I'll look at maybe getting the Hercules series, but Kevin Sorbo sucks. So,
yeah. No. Well, just buy it secondhand then.
Yeah, if I can find them secondhand, yeah. So, we'll see. Unless, you know, Amazon has a stupid, ridiculous deal like that, then maybe. But, yeah, for now, I got plenty to go through with the Xena set, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to last you a while.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So for me, it was all I really came away with was Nier Automata. Wouldn't have even gotten that, but because I was avoiding the stores like the plague on Thursday and Friday. But my roommate had to work at Best Buy, so I just said, look, if there are any copies of Nier left when you get off work, it would be fantastic if you could pick that up. So he did, and so that's how I got that. I was also hoping to get in on one of those $14 copies of Injustice 2 from GameStop, but that didn't happen.
Yeah,
I wasn't feeling that ambitious, so.
That's pretty much what it's going for on PSN right now, anyway. So
really,
yeah.
I will have to take a look at that. I did not know. Yep. So, yeah. So that was my haul.
Cool. Well, I guess kind of conservative, but it looks like we all got something decent for this year.
Well, it was a big bills check anyway, so
yeah.
Even if I wanted to dig deeper, it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. So, all right.
I'm taking a look at PSN now.
All right. Well, all righty then. Well, it is now once again time for everyone's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And you know what? Because it was post-Thanksgiving and because I really didn't have a whole lot of time to gather something up, I'm just going to go ahead and do something that I've probably done before and have explained before, but fuck it. I want to do it again, and I'm actually going to make it a focus this time because even to this day, all this time later, I still have foreign friends who will, you know, come up. Well, I say come up. They actually communicate to me over the internet.
Approach you.
Yeah, digitally, I guess, and say, hey, Brandon, we love the food you guys have down in the South. And I'm like, well, thank you very much. I quite enjoy it myself, as you could clearly see if you could see through the other side of the screen, which you won't because I have a piece of tape over my webcam, so you will never see me.
Wouldn't it be easier to just disconnect the webcam?
No, because I have a laptop.
Yeah.
Oh.
And this is the one that's like built into the computer and can be turned on, you know, manually by people, other people. So. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyways, so Brian, we love your food and stuff, but we gotta ask you something. And he's like, okay, what's that? He's like, can you tell us what grits are? Because I was like, grits, really? You don't want to, you know, we got other stuff too. He's like, no, I just, it's all good. It's just, what the hell is it? I mean, it looks like white mushy stuff that doesn't really have a whole much to it. And yet, for some reason, all you Southerners fucking love it and will kill over it. And, all right, so once and for all, here it is to all of my friends who are American friends who have never experienced and don't know what it is, to all of the people outside of the United States who have heard the term and have no idea what it is or. Okay. So, first and foremost, have you ever heard of polenta?
No.
Nope.
Bill, you're Italian. You should have.
Well.
Okay, look, polenta is a stuff that's in and around Italy. It's also can be found in Romania. It's a porridge that's made out of fine yellow cornmeal. You put it in there. It's nice and creamy. You cook it up and boil it up. It becomes a nice mush. You can eat it as is, or you can let it dry and congeal into a mold, and then you can cut it into loaves or even deep fry that sucker. Well, That's basically what grits are. The only exception is that whereas polenta uses regular old yellow corn, grits uses hominy corn, specifically white hominy corn. That's corn that's been treated with alkali. It's actually something we inherited from the Cherokee. They originally called it sofki, and it was something they had been eating for centuries before we showed up over here. And the reason that Southerners are so attached to it is because it's one of those things that kept us going in times of, well, I don't want to necessarily say famine, because the United States has never really had famine, but when times are lean, yeah, but when times are lean, you know, it's nice and nourishing. And part of the other appeal is that you can do so many things with it. You got your simple stuff, like you can just add some salt and butter and there you go. But then you'll get stuff like, say, shrimp and grits, which is like a very famous low country dish that is, you know, grilled shrimp with all kinds of nice, like, marinade and sauce, and you serve it over, like, grits with maybe some cheese. Or sometimes you have some heathens who will put sugar in it, and that's an abomination. But...
Hmm. Okay.
All I'm saying is that the Civil War happened for a reason.
All right.
Okay, then.
Fair enough.
And that's been yet another episode of Brandon's Random Factoid. I think that's probably the best part, place we could have ended it on.
Yeah.
So now you know what grits are.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
All right. So now it's time for the show proper. And we're going to start it off with our Asshole of the Week. And there really is no other person who could have been Asshole of the Week. We did have some candidates, but honestly, this guy outdid all of them. It's FCC Chairman Ajit Pai.
Yep.
A.K.A. the, ever since Corelli got locked away, is now the second most punchable face in America.
Yeah. He was a former Verizon lawyer, by the way, so...
Oh, what a shock.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that should probably, well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, this whole thing just really just screams of corruption, because...
And he's so fucking petty about it, too.
Mm.
Like, he really doesn't hide it at all.
Yeah.
Like, he's so transparent about it. He tries to kind of sort of dress it up on things like consumer freedom and internet freedom, but people can see right through it.
Yeah, people can see right through it, especially since, you know, it took 10 years to get the net neutrality rules that we ended up with. Well, you guys ended up with. And those were in response to an actual problem.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't theoretical problems. It was things that ISPs were actually doing.
Yeah.
You know, to come in and just go, we're going to remove all those rules and checks and balances and, let the ISPs have at it. We think the market will regulate itself, even this, despite the fact that it has absolutely no competition anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And no restraint whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Now, we do need to point out, just for the record, net neutrality isn't dead yet. It's not, you know, there's still some time. You can still try and do something if you're able.
Yeah, it's December 14th, I think, is a deadline for, for that.
And, you know, just also if you're, this is just a personal recommendation from me. If you're going to use a web browser, just get one that's like from a nonprofit like Mozilla.
Yep. I'm using Firefox Quantum right now.
Yep. And I'm just using regular old Firefox myself. But
Quantum is regular Firefox.
Yeah. Mozilla. It's a nonprofit. It's free. It's the free source is free. You know, they don't make any money off of it. It's basically a foundation project that they've been doing for a couple of decades now. Honestly, you're going to you're probably going to want to switch over after all this shit goes down, because you know Google is going to start fiddling with Chrome as soon as it happens. So,
yeah, I don't know if I go that far, but yeah, it doesn't really look that good right now.
So,
there are going to be protests also. I think the 7th of December outside of Verizon stores, which I find incredibly appropriate.
Yeah, go to Verizon stores. I would normally say don't kick in any store windows. And I'm going to say that again. Don't kick in any store windows. Not because Verizon sucks, because they do, but, you know, think of the poor people who have to clean that shit up the next morning.
Yeah.
That being, you know, but I'm also going to, you know, I won't lie. I'm not saying I won't look in the obvious direction at that pretty bird that just so happens to be in this opposite direction, facing opposite from where the store window is. So,
yeah.
But, and furthermore, and I think this just really needs to be said, AgitPi is just so utterly insufferable. Like, he's arrogant as all hell. He has that douchey West Coast accent, you know, and
he really believes his own shit.
Yeah.
That's about all I can really say about it.
Like, he is the dude who has really drank. He is a dude. If there is a way a person can get high off their own stash, let's put it that way. He is just the best example of that. And I'm going to be perfectly honest. After all this shit goes down, and if he does manage to succeed with all this, he has to be realized that he's basically going to be a dead man walking for the rest of his life, right?
Yeah, he'll have to be looking out behind him quite a bit, I would suspect.
Yeah. Like, I'm not suggesting anything. I know what you're thinking. I'm not, but like, does this dude really lack that much? Like, what's the term?
Well, we know that, you know, in the next administration that comes around, he is going to be on his ass.
Yeah.
So, you know, nobody's going to want
to hire him. Side of the aisle that administration comes from, he's fucked.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he seems to, like, I'm absolutely convinced that he's part of the reason he's doing this, because he really does want to fill his own pockets. And, I mean, that level of greed, you know, it's just, without that any kind of, like, it's just like, does this man not know how to feel a room? You know?
Apparently not.
Not know how to read a crowd?
Nope.
I mean, for fuck's sakes, I have Asperger's syndrome, and even I'm like, dude, just, can you not?
When there's a guy in the front row looking at you like he wants to do you bodily harm,
yeah,
probably not a good idea to continue with what you were saying.
Yeah.
Just a pointer.
And he probably just thinks it's a rough crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well,
AgitPi, you suck.
So. Yeah. Now, for the record, I am curious. Is there anything that the courts can do?
Congress can.
Yeah.
Probably.
Just kind of let that one hang there.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Now we have our hero of the week, just to wash that math out, and holy shit, this dude's probably going to have a movie made out of him, because, so there was a dude, okay, so everybody knows, I'm pretty sure this all happened at the 38th parallel, right? This was the demilitarized zone. North Korean soldier, apparently got into a Jeep or a car or something, and then he comes. They've caught the whole damn thing on video, by the way. And he comes in, and then I'm not sure, but there's like a point in the video you watch, suddenly the other North Korean soldiers that are there suddenly realize what he's trying to do. He gets out of the car, and he just bolts. Like, he is bolting across the 38th parallel, and these other soldiers actually start shooting at him. Like he gets hit like five times. Seriously, they hit him five times.
Hmm.
He yep. still manages to charge through the DMZ into South Korean territory. They capture him over there. They rush him to emergency surgery. He survived. The dude is still totally alive. Yep. But what they found in this dude while they were doing that surgery, gigantic parasitic worms that were in his gastrointestinal system.
Hmm.
Like huge fucking, like, you know, like when you think of like earthworms.
Yeah.
The big juicy ones, the ones that are like 4 inches long.
Yeah.
That's how big those things were. Like those things
that's
were fucking
fuel.
Yeah, those things were living inside of him.
So they get him out or?
Yeah, he's currently in South Korea right now. I guess he's in recovery, and I'm guessing both the U.S. and the South Korean governments are currently probably talking to him, because it's pretty more than one thing. He's definitely defecting. Like that's the most obvious here. Like we want to find out for one thing why, like obviously your first thing was like, well, fuck, he was in North Korea. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, also getting into a Jeep and then bolting for the DMZ was probably should be your second clue.
Yeah.
And
I'm thinking those parasites probably had something to do with it.
He was probably, well, you know, I might as well try. I ain't got nothing else to lose.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm guessing that dude was in some pretty serious pain, too.
Yeah.
Again, like, okay, look. I'm going to, okay, soldier, parasite, worms. I'm going to, they got, like, photos that they, that the, because, like, the doctor who gave the press conference after the surgery was done, he took photographs of everything, including the parasitic worms. And, holy shit, look at these things. Okay, because hold on.
I'm not sure I want to, but.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put it in the chat here. And, yeah, look at those. Those things were inside him, rutting around his stomach, his intestines.
Nope. So much nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had those living in him. Jesus
Christ. Yeah. By the way, for the record, if you're wondering. Does anyone know what the name of the medication, what type of medication it is that you use to treat, parasitic organisms inside the human body? I forgot what they're called.
I have no earthly idea.
yeah. But anything, the thing is that because North Korea is under the trade embargo, apparently you can't get those in North Korea.
Yeah.
Well, they were fucked.
Yeah. Which is like you said, fuck it. I cannot stand this pain any longer. I am willing to take 5 bullets to my body.
Yeah.
You know. So now comes the part where, okay, so here's the thing. North Korea defectors, there is just a shit ton of politics and policy and information and misinformation that always surrounds when this happens. So first thing everyone needs to know, it is known and it is openly known by the South Korean government that if a person in North Korea defects to South Korea and they survive and the South Korean government finds them, they will pay them about something to the tune of $300,000, you know, whatever that's equivalent to in Korean currency. Mm. They also will basically give them a pension, and they basically become sort of mini celebrities in South Korea.
Mm.
But the problem is that because they're sort of political tools used by the South Korean government against their neighbor to the north, there's been times where these defectors have essentially been chewed up and spit out by South Korea and then try to defect back into North Korea.
Hmm.
And you know, there's all this, again, there's all this stuff that happens. One of the things you always have to be careful about when you're talking about North Korea is that, yeah, North Korea sucks. But there are a lot of places that try to create these, that intentionally create these false stories about North Korea in order to generate headlines. You know, for the record, yes, North Korea sucks. It's a totalitarian, one-party dictatorship under a semi-divine leader. It's not a democracy. It is a democracy at best de jure. It is not a de facto democracy. Mm-hmm. But there are stories like, you know, the guy who was ripped to shreds by a bunch of dogs and then, you know, turned up later and like a couple of months later, or that, you know, that Kim Jong-un had his uncle executed via anti-aircraft gun.
Hmm.
Yep. Yeah, those are all false. But this is suggestive of the type of conditions that are currently in North Korea.
Yeah.
It's well known that unless you live inside of Pyongyang, Pyongyang is basically the urban hub of Korea. If you live out there, you basically live in what is basically an agrarian hellscape.
Hmm.
Most of the roads are not paved. There's mud and debris everywhere. Most people who have actually visited North Korea have noticed that basically everyone in the country seems to suffer from stunted growth, which is like really indicative of, you know, like nutrition deficiencies and stuff.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, even though, you know, Kim Jong-un is a fat fuck, but, again, you always have to be careful when you're talking about North Korea, because the unfortunate truth is what we actually know about North Korea is covered in a fog of disinformation from both South Korea and North Korea.
Yeah.
So anyway, this dude is a freaking hero.
Yeah.
And
more like badass of the week.
Yeah, and considering he's actually military, I will not be surprised if he ends up spilling some all information. Yeah. All right. So,
random thought about North Korea, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a factoid in and of itself. In 1995, WCW and New Japan Pro Wrestling did a show in Pyongyang.
Yeah.
That had to be weird.
Oh,
that was
I'm sure
very
it was.
Weird. There's a couple of versions of it floating around if you're interested in seeing it. But yeah, it's strange.
Yeah.
So
pretty sure that was back when Kim Il Sung was still alive.
Yeah. No, actually, I think he had just died.
Oh yeah, so it was Kim Jong Il then.
Yeah.
But yeah. Also, and it also needs to be pointed out, on top of just the fact that their government is an ass. The fact that they suffer from all these embargoes also does not help at all.
No.
Yeah.
You know, one of the reasons, like up until fairly recently, they used to sort of do the saber rattling is basically to convince people to start sending food aid into the country. Mm. Of course, once Trump started, you know, having his penis waving contest with Kim Jong-un, that doesn't really work all that much anymore.
No.
So,
not really. So.
Yeah. So, all right, so now it's time for the proper show proper. And first story of the mix, Charles Manson is dead.
Yay.
I mean, there's... I'm like, yeah, good.
Well, that took a minute.
It did. That dude was a fucking cockroach.
Yeah.
That dude entered prison in, I think, like 1971.
Yeah.
And he stayed there until... 2017. So, yeah. So do we need to remind what Charles Manson did?
A whole bunch of murders.
I think it's well documented.
All right, just real quickly, Charles Manson was the head of a cult called the Manson Family. He was a failed musician and basically a sociopath who was amazingly charismatic and had an almost enigmatic control on his followers. They all committed a bunch of murders, most infamously Sharon Tate, who was the then wife of Roman Polanski, at their home in Los Angeles. Manson had this bizarre apocalyptic scenario called Helter Skelter, which, yes, was based off the Beatles song. He didn't actually, for the record, the myth that that he believed the Beatles were communicating it with him telepathically, he didn't actually believe any of that, but apparently he had this weird sort of scenario that he was trying to enact where he would start this gigantic race war, which the black people would win, but then the black people would apparently be too incompetent in governing, so Charles Manson and his family would then be king of the black people. I guess it's you don't really expect logic and crazy, but
no, not really.
But
he was probably high 100% of the time too.
Yeah, that dude was. Well, here's the thing. Not really. No, he did not do drugs, but he gave plenty of drugs to his followers, which is part of the reason he was able to control them so easily. And his whole trial, like, if you thought the O.J. Simpson's trial was just a circus, Manson's trial pretty much puts it to shame. Because his followers would, you know, be out front of the courthouse singing songs and saying, you know, Charles Manson is your brother. You know, he's innocent. But he was very much not.
No, he was a despicable person.
Clearly.
And then every few years he would come out and, you know, have a parole hearing where he basically just showed that he had no fucks to give.
Nope.
And of course, he famously started carving a swastika into his forehead for the shock value, basically. Yeah. And if you ever get a chance, because they got a bunch of his parole hearings they filmed, and you can see a bunch of them on YouTube. And he's pretty. it's a fun watch. Or at least it mostly is until you realize that, you know, this dude is responsible for dozens of people dead.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like his people forget Sharon Tate was pregnant when they killed her, and they physically cut the fetus out of her.
Yep.
A jerk.
But moving on from there to an unfortunately sad story that we have to do. Malcolm Young, the brother of Angus Young and the co-founder of AC/DC, sadly passed away this week at, I think, the age of 67?
64. Yep.
Malcolm was the rhythm guitarist. He wasn't quite as flamboyant or out there as Angus is, but no. He was
an amazing talent all the same.
Oh, he was an amazing guitar player. Unlike where Angus would be, you know, the one famously with the schoolboy uniform doing the duck walk and everything, Angus was usually hanging back next to the amplifiers.
Yeah, he had been suffering from dementia for the past few years, so...
Yeah, if we're honest, we lost Malcolm Young a while ago.
Yeah.
It's just his body finally caught up.
Yeah.
Well, the drugs, dude.
Yeah. Back in those days, it was, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
I mean, there's a reason why they had to get a second singer, you know.
So that's kind of sad, and I guess, you know, with Angus, well, Angus is still around. Brian Johnson still around, but can't really tour anymore.
AC/DC is pretty much retired at this point.
Yeah. So unless they end up doing just being a studio band, which is entirely possible, but
I mean, that's fine. I'd be okay with that, but
yeah.
So it's sad to see him go, but you know, sadly at the state he was in, It was probably for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so moving on from there. So if there's anything that the Roy Moore story has taught us, it's that family values politicians are full of shit.
You don't say.
And recently, a state senator from Oklahoma, former Oklahoma state senator, has recently pled guilty to trafficking child sex prostitutes.
Yeah. Does this surprise anybody?
No. Not really. The dude that he was doing was a 17-year-old kid. He basically paid him for quote-unquote stuff.
Stuff.
I think that was back last March. He's going to be officially pleading guilty next week, Thursday. And, yeah, this dude is one of those guys who is very clearly, like, he's like, you know, family values, Jesus, guns. Look that way, please, while I try to diddle this underage child.
Yeah, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, by the way, for anyone who's knowing, Chris Logie just joined us. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Hey. Yeah. Chris had stuff he had to do, so.
Yeah.
He gets to join us now.
Yep.
All right. Before we move on real quick, Chris, do you want to tell us, did you get anything for Black Friday?
Too much.
Go ahead and tell us before we move on.
I will try to keep this brief. Let's see. I got Assassin's Creed Origins.
Mm.
That just arrived today from Best Buy. I got it on Xbox One because I think they got a marketing deal with them, Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I might as well get it there and see how the install process is on Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler. It's the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Quantum Break was such a nightmare. I want to see what a normal game might look like. I got Neo for $16, though I had a $15 reward coupon at Best Buy, so that was like a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good.
$1 Neo, not bad.
Yes. I ordered both of the Kingdom Hearts collections on PS4, along with what is the new Final Fantasy 14 expansion?
Stormblood.
Okay. I kept thinking Bloodstone. I was like, it's one of those weird names. I got that on the way as well. That was, I think, 20. And so that'll go with Heaven's Ward as, like, here's a couple of 30-day subs I can use when I got about a month or so I can play. And I might use one of those coming up for December. Probably when I'm done with my Game of the Year stuff.
Yeah.
Not before that, because I still am behind on that.
I was just about to ask how that was going for you.
We'll probably talk more about that on Day Zero.
Sunday?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, because there's at least one big story that we talked about last week that got a whole lot weirder this
week. Yeah.
And I was playing that game to hopefully see it off, and it never went off.
Hmm.
So that whole thing's weird. What else did I get? I got a bunch of movies, Spider-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, War for the Planet of the Apes. I guess the newest one.
Yeah, that's the newest one.
And Wonder Woman.
Hmm.
And I also got a couple other small ones. And then I ordered almost all of the other Dragon Ball Z seasons I didn't have. I think 5 is the last one. That never showed up as like a flash deal or whatever that the whole thing Amazon does where it's like, hey, add this to your cart. Because we only got so many that we're going to sell at this price.
Yeah.
And season 5 is the only one they didn't do that for.
Hmm.
That's weird. It's like I got 4, I got 6, 7, 8, 9. Where's 5?
It's like, you're going to make me pay full price for 5, aren't you? You got
that. It was only like 18, but I haven't bought it yet.
Hmm.
I'm guessing maybe Cyber Monday they'll put that on or tomorrow or I don't know. That's a whole mess on Amazon. Trying to figure out what's on sale and when. this whole mess. And I think that's about it. I think I got some digital stuff to do on Xbox Live and PSN. I got a card on PSN just waiting to check out with my 15% off coupon as well.
Nice.
I think Wolfenstein 2 is on there, Persona 5 to just switch that to digital. What else? Mafia 3, the deluxe edition with all the DLC. I was thinking doing Valkyria Chronicles, just converting that to digital.
Yeah.
Maybe Mass Effect, but I might wait on Mass Effect because that's going to keep going down.
Yeah, it's going to keep dropping in price.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that dropping, and I'm probably not going to play it anytime soon anyway, so why convert it over right now? I'm waiting to see if there's any digital stuff, but I also got on Xbox Cuphead and Super Lucky's Tale, which Cuphead is pretty cool. It's hard. And Super Lucky's Tale is not.
Not that hard, but still pretty good.
It's okay. It's coming out in the same year as the Crash Bandicoot Collection and Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
And it's not as good as either of those. But for $15, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been pretty much it for the haul.
All right.
It's a pretty good haul.
And then the best thing I got that wasn't even on sale is this Bluetooth receiver for my car. Because my stereo is old enough that my Android phone doesn't work with it. So this just plugs into the 3.5 millimeter jack on there, and lets me just stream my phone audio to that.
Nice.
Lets me play my podcast and that on the car, which is nice, not having to have my phone near my ear so I can hear the podcast on that thing.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, now it'll be a little safer drive.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, which I would just have it kind of tucked in with the belt buckle or seat belt, so it was kind of secured, but not great. But now it's all
not
good.
Comfortable either.
Yeah, it's like $17 for this thing. It was working really well so far, and it's a lot cheaper than paying for like another stereo.
Yeah,
it might be more attuned to Android stuff.
Yeah,
so Android's not great for cars anyway, from what I've seen. But yeah, that's been pretty much it.
All right. Well then, moving on to our next story, and holy crap, this one came out of just freaking nowhere. So, who here is familiar with the work of Nobuhiro Watsuki?
Just about anyone familiar with anime and manga itself, I would say.
His probably most famous creation is the highly popular, extremely influential Shonen Jump manga, Rurouni Kenshin, which...
Yeah.
Managed to inspire a very popular anime series, and I do mean very popular. Well, this week he got busted for child porn. And I don't mean like he just looked something up online. I mean, this dude had like fucking just shit
tons,
like just a bunch of videotapes and DVDs and, you know, photos and stuff that he had stashed away at an office that was away from his usual studio. Some of these girls were apparently as young as 10. And the reason it surprised so many people is because if you read any of his work, there is absolutely nothing in it that would suggest that he was a pedophile.
Yeah.
Like, in an age when, like, lolicon characters are very common, there wasn't a single one in his work.
Yeah.
Like, if I was to find out tomorrow that, you know, say, I don't know, Kenichi Sonoda was busted for child porn, would anybody really be that surprised?
No, not really.
But... Let's see. Story goes, Tokyo Metropolitan Police has charged 47-year-old manga creator Nobuhiro Watsuki with simple possession of child pornography on Tuesday. According to the authorities, Watsuki possessed numerous DVDs with nude footage of young girls in their early teens and stored them at an office in Tokyo at least as recently as October. In his disposition, Watsuki allegedly said that he liked girls in late elementary school to around the second year of middle school.
Okay, so he's not even denying it.
No.
That's awfully specific, too.
Yeah.
It needs to be reminded that in Japan, the age of consent is 13. Yeah. However, any type of sexual material that is of actual people, even around that age, is still very much illegal in Japan. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Authorities searched his home as part of a different investigation, which linked him to the purchase of DVDs with child porn. The charge against Watsuki alleges that he possessed the porn videos from July 2015. Possession of child porn entails imprisonment of up to 1 year and a fine of up to 1 million yen, which is about $8,800, if he's found guilty, which he basically said.
It's basically an open and shut case.
Yeah. Watsuki is best known as the creator of Rurouni Kenshin. The manga ran from 1994 to 1999 in Shueisha's Weekly Shonen Jump magazine. And Shueisha published over 60 million copies of the manga's compiled book volumes. The manga inspired an anime series that ran from 96 to 98, as well as films and original video projects. The manga also inspired a live-action film trilogy from 2012 to 2014, with a new film reportedly in the works. A new arc of the manga by Watsuki and his novelist wife Keo Kurosaki debuted in September, and Viz is simultaneously publishing it in English.
And that's on hold now for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the thing that's probably going to happen. Watsuki is going to probably be convicted. He's probably going to go to jail for about a year. And then he's going to come out. And then he's going to start a new manga series, and it's going to sell like gangbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Because for those of you who don't know, who here is familiar with Toriko?
No, not me.
It's another famous
Shonen
Jump.
I know of it. I never got into it.
Yeah, the creator of that particular series had another very popular series in Jump that got canceled midway because he had been caught soliciting sex from a 14-year-old girl. And then when he got out, he started Toriko and became a huge success again. So,
yeah, can happen.
Mm-hmm. God damn it, Japan.
Wow.
We take the good with the bad.
Yeah. Anyway, so moving on from there. The Pentagon has reported that there is an increase in misbehavior, harassment, and assault ever since Trump came into office. Pat, you have a comment here?
It's only an increase in reports. Bad behavior has been the norm forever, and I guarantee you that it's just getting reported more, which is a good sign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you have some experience with this, or?
I've got plenty of friends who are in the military who have told me stories about, I would say, almost a cultural problem in the military. I don't want to speak too at length about it because I'm not personally, experienced in it, but I've heard plenty of things in passing that point to this being very much the norm.
Right. Is it just because of the whole boys club mentality?
It's just like everywhere. There's that, and there's just the fact that whether in the military, out of the military, it's always been a thing where it's very underreported.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're seeing right now is a cultural change where reports are being are becoming more commonplace when things like this happen, and that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, you can thank Harvey Weinstein for that.
Yep. That opened a whole
can of worms.
Yep.
Pandora's box has been open, and it cannot be closed again.
Yep.
And
how many times have I said on this show that there is no problem in the history of humanity that has ever been solved by shutting up?
Right.
Yeah,
that's why this is a good thing.
It's sort of like this decade's version of people being able to be gay without that much harassment, like about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
People started getting more okay with that. Mm-hmm. Even the religious right, they're still working on it.
They're still working on it and failing miserably. So
yeah, which then we see a lot of these people in politics who are famously anti-gay, lesbian, all that, and then they're coming out as gay.
Or they get caught having sex with a man in their office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you fixate so much against these people because you somehow also have that urge.
Yeah, but So yeah, and of course, after Trump was elected, and now with this stuff with Roy Moore, pretty much the entire credibility of that entire
movement
is basically in tatters. Like,
yeah.
After that, after they supported Trump, there was no reason to ever take them seriously again.
Yeah.
And now it's come out that you know, the Family Research Council, one of the most infamous of those groups, apparently their leader tried to cover up a attempted sexual assault by another person within that group. And
shocking.
Yeah. But all right, so yeah, we're in the middle of a cultural revolution here, and
where the victims are being believed for the first time
and
decades.
Here's the thing. Yeah. If you're getting sick of hearing stories about that, well, maybe you need to go do something about it.
Yeah, we need to get rid of these people, and then guess what? You probably won't hear much about it at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
starting to rip off the Band-Aid.
Yeah. So, moving on from there, Europe, don't panic, but there's about a 1,000 times normal radiation cloud that's hovering on top of you.
Luckily, it's a radioactive element that is not that dangerous.
Yeah.
Ruthenium 106, half-life is 373 days, so
yeah,
it should be almost done. I think it was detected to potentially have started last year.
Yeah. And sure, the thing is, it came out of Russia, apparently.
That's what all the research is leading everybody to believe.
Yeah.
Because it's this one element, it's not a bunch of different radiation elements.
Yeah.
So it's not like a Chernobyl.
Yeah, this was like, if Chernobyl was leaking, it wouldn't just be this one thing. It would be a conglomeration of different radioactive particles that you could sense.
This is some lab that's been producing this stuff that has had some sort of accident.
Now, what exactly would be producing it, though?
It's a byproduct of splitting uranium-235 in nuclear reactors. And from what it says here, there's like two or three in Russia that could do this.
Hmm.
And I think it's a specific one. Where does it say? It's around the Ural Mountains in the border region between Russia and Kazakhstan.
Hmm.
Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan. You may remember Kazakhstan. They made a glorious movie film.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets hard to remember how that's pronounced when the GOP just butchers it constantly.
Yeah, a different way each time.
Yeah.
It's hard to forget.
It's three syllables, goddammit.
Yeah. But it's a foreign term or name. They don't like to know those things.
It sounds how it looks. You know, did nobody ever teach these people to sound it out?
No, they're from the South. They stick to what they know. That's the whole GOP is,
I knew
we don't like anything
the
we don't know.
Yeah, really.
But see, here's the thing. I'm from the South, and I was taught to sound it out, so they don't have that excuse.
I don't know. Texas, maybe.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Various places all around Europe have picked up this radiation. And they're all believing it's Russia. Russia is basically saying, it's not us. Because, of course, they would. But yeah, it's a very weird thing that's happening. Mm. But it seems like it's not going to be anything real bad. But yeah, like the Russian National Weather Service has also picked this up.
Mm.
So it's like, it's not Russia just ignoring it is not going to make it go away.
Yeah.
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 That's sort of their problem.
Yeah. It was probably something just as simple as, somebody at the nuclear power station is like, did you forget to change the filter on the scrubber again? Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. That's how they test this stuff is, these different places, across Europe essentially has this filter that's, gathers the radiation, latent radiation in the air, and after a week they change it out and send that out to a lab that tests it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this, there's a lot of this ruthenium shit in there. It says here the likely place where this is originating from is the Research Institute of Atomic Reactors in Dmitrovgrad, Russia, 90 miles north of Mayak. That's the one named place where people think it's at, which is sort of a secret institute of some sort. At least in that nobody really knows what's going on there.
Yeah.
Other than they think this is what they are working on.
So, yeah.
Russia's doing weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Undermining democracy and making weird nuclear things.
Yeah. Kind of,
I think I saw in another article that this is actually them. This element is used in hospitals and such.
Yeah.
They're essentially trying to produce this stuff as a means of being able to sell it to hospitals across the world and sort of a revenue source.
Probably.
So it seems like just some sort of accident in that way.
Yeah.
Probably.
No.
Well, it seems like they're trying to make nuclear warheads and fucked it up.
Yeah.
No.
Well, if they were nuclear warheads, we would have known.
Yeah, like how people have been able to detect things when North Korea sets off theirs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Say, hey, there's fucking earthquakes that happen as a result of it.
Like, yeah, your capital city's on fire. Should that be happening?
Probably not, no.
There is no problem.
That is no problem. We're just having a nice game of badminton. Sometimes we use nuclear warhead as cockle.
Okay.
To each their own. You do you.
Yeah.
We do the real badminton.
Anyway, moving on from there. So here's something you probably didn't hear about. Back in 2016, last year, October, somebody actually managed to hack Huber. That's right. They hacked Huber. Now, you would think, holy shit, that's kind of a big deal. Like, you know, why didn't we hear about it? Well, turns out because Uber greased some palms and managed to keep it under wraps.
And they paid the hackers that were blackmailing them.
Yeah.
Isn't that a crime?
Some $1,000.
Yeah.
50 million customers, 7 million drivers had their details leaked. Names, email addresses, and phone numbers of the customers. Mm-hmm. Drivers also had about 600,000 of them had their driver's license numbers leaked.
Mm-hmm.
No social security numbers, credit cards, or location data seems to have been taken.
That's irrelevant.
And the interesting way is how these hackers did this. Mm-hmm. They basically went after their GitHub, their private GitHub. And then found the password and login after all that, and went after their Amazon server.
Jesus.
Which apparently they're using the same password and login there as well. Which, hey, fuck off with that shit. That's basic security.
Yeah, just don't do that.
Yeah.
Especially when it's your private code and all that shit.
Yeah,
so two attackers accessed the private GitHub, used by Uber's software engineers, then used those login credentials to access data stored on their Amazon Web Services account. From there, the hackers discovered an archive of rider and driver information, and they emailed Uber asking for money. So they paid to hide this stuff. The CEO that departed recently, he found out about this about a month later in November, as well as obviously their security chief knew all about this, Joe Sullivan.
Yep.
The way that the board and all the CEOs that are still around found out about this, they hired investigators to find out what happened. I'm trying to see where exactly they explained this. The new CEO said his goal is to change Uber's way. They had investigation going on, and they found out about this stuff.
Yeah.
And so everybody was shocked. They had the security guy obviously They got rid of him. Probably got rid of his whole team as well. Because they fucked up all, from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not great for people to find out, oh, your information was stolen about a year ago.
Yeah. Nobody told you. Although it doesn't really matter because now it's been stolen multiple times now.
Yeah.
Because it's probably all.
And those sorts of things like email and names and phone numbers, like everybody's been stolen at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You get those phone calls from a number you don't know, or one that actually comes at like the area code you're at, but you're like, this is some spoofed shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to answer anything unless I am expecting a call.
I'm at the point now where I'm just ready to set my answering service to say, who the hell are you and what the hell is so important that you can't just text me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would advise you guys, if this is a big problem for you, to check out Nomo Robo.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good service. So
yeah.
Might give that a look. But yeah, I want to say that this is bad for Uber, but actually, this is good. This is what you want to see coming out of this new regime from Uber. It's like, yeah, bad shit happened.
They
want to
be a better
here.
Company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's the new CEO gets here and he had a big turd dropped on his lap. It's like, okay, well, it's going to take a while to sort through this, and it's not going to be pleasant. So, yeah.
Yeah, they hired Matt Olson, former general counsel at the NSA and director of the National Counterterrorism Center, as an advisor to help them restructure their security teams.
Yeah.
As well as
a
cybersecurity firm called Mandiant. It's owned by FireEye Inc. to investigate the hack and probably find out what else happened with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this gives the new CEO like a way to start fresh, say, we're not doing this shit anymore.
Yeah. So
we're cutting off heads, and we're going to get all new people here to make sure we're doing the right thing from now on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next up, Peter Thiel has announced that he wants to buy Gawker.com.
Oh, dear.
Out of spite, by the way.
Yeah.
Basically, he found out they were in the process of selling off Gawker.
Mm-hmm.
The URL, the archives, all that. And he found out he was being specifically not notified of this. And so he's obviously made it a point to stick his nose into things. I think they're threatening a suit or something like that, or threatening action if they don't get included in this. Which obviously, if he gets to buy this, he's going to just delete everything.
Yeah, that's what he wants.
He has no reason
to
keep it around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not good, because there's as much shit as Gawker did. They also did a lot of good stuff as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They broke a lot of important stories. But yeah.
Yeah.
We were working on Weinstein, but no.
Yeah.
Didn't end up happening.
Well.
I think they were one of the early people on some of these other harassers.
Yeah. I just want to say Peter Thiel is an asshole.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's if he doesn't like what somebody says about him, he'll just, you know, sue him or buy out their company or both.
Mm-hmm.
It's really disconcerting, honestly.
Yeah.
Because he has the money to do it. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He finds somebody that might have a legit beef against somebody he hates. He'll find their lawsuit.
Yeah.
Like you did with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
No, that was a shit show.
Yeah. That's how Gawker ended up getting shut down, so. Blah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we could use a site that likes to roll around in the muck like Gawker did right now.
Yeah.
That's all this administration wants, is to roll around in the muck.
Yep. What else we got?
All right, well, moving on from there. So for those of you who don't know, Al Franken, current Senator Al Franken, has been dealing with some sexual harassment allegations. Started with a really stupid photo he took, I think, back in 2005.
Yeah.
where he was sort of making pretending that he was groping, I don't remember what her name is, but in her sleep.
It's a fairly well-known radio host.
Yeah. For the record, he isn't actually touching her, it just makes it look like it, but she was
doing a thing that 13-year-olds do to their friends when they fall asleep early on a sleepover.
Yeah. And she's really pissed about it, and understandably so.
Yeah. Though she also accepted his apology and said she didn't want him to step down because of it.
Yeah.
Which I think with all this stuff, like, we don't give the victims enough of a say in sort of what they want to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's either cut their heads off or fuck them.
You a lying bitch. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Suddenly, for some reason, Fox News decided to start calling him Weird Al. So I guess they had to come up and renew their trademark.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been, like, tagging all these stories, like, Weird Al. Mm-hmm. So it shows, there's, like, a screenshot he has of the Fox News app, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Showing the Al Franken picture, and it says Weird Al right over it, and it's like, he wants to distance himself from all that, not to have the Weird Al name obviously used to denote sexual harassment and all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is his prerogative.
Yep.
Man.
He talked about how on his tweet, if you really feel compelled to insult Franken, Sharpton, Gore, Roker, or Pacino, please choose a different nickname. I posted my trademark application earlier today, mostly as a joke. By the way, my name has been trademarked since 1985. This is just a renewal. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the point. The takeaway should have been that it's extremely uncool to use my name in this kind of context. So stop, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, God, Fox News are such a bunch of assholes.
And they're not creative at all.
And they're so goddamn childish.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not conduct befitting of a what's supposed to be a major news organization, but we all know that's not really what they do.
Yeah.
All right. This next one is a hockey story, so
probably Pat.
Yeah. So the Montreal media has been notorious for years for having a, shall we say, unique effect on the sports landscape in the city.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, kind of getting into the players' own heads and generally making the city very difficult to play in for some types of players. And we have a situation here where the Montreal media may have finally gone too far and instigated the departure of the Canadiens' best goaltender since Patrick Waugh.
Hmm.
Now, Carey Price and the Canadiens in general have not been playing their best hockey this season. And the media has been all over them for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Phil can attest to this. But they've been spreading rumors that said more or less that Carey Price had demanded a trade and that his wife basically said that they would either get out of Montreal or she would divorce him.
Mm-hmm.
Both of which came out in the media and straight up said, none of that is true. That's all bullshit. Quit making shit up. And now the media may have been making the news because it seems as though they're pissed off with the press over it to the point where they don't want to be in Montreal anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think he's one of the best goalies in the NHL, if not the best right now. And if he leaves Montreal over this, then I can honestly say that Montreal is not going to find a better goalie available either through free agency or through trade at the moment. So, or in the foreseeable future. I
also completely understand, too.
Yep.
You know.
It is a notoriously difficult city to play in because of the media, and It was a matter of when rather than if something like this was going to happen. But Jesus Christ, do you think they could have picked an even better player to do this with?
Yeah. About shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Ah.
But, you know, if this is the beginning of the the Montreal sports press kind of being forced to back off a little bit, then some good might come out of this. But I would hope Canadiens brass comes out and just dresses down the media for essentially meddling in this whole thing, if this is in fact what's going on, because wow, that's overstepping boundaries in spades.
Yeah, seriously.
And they didn't report on the news, they made the news.
Yeah. Which is like going against journalism 101.
Yep.
Yeah, sir.
But, all right, so moving on from there. Oh, man, this one is just too good. There was a Catholic school in Australia that had commissioned a new statue to install on their campus. And it was revealed. The idea for the statue was it's a priest with, I'm guessing, an altar boy next to him, and he's holding a loaf of the Eucharist.
And he's not even looking down at the kid.
Yeah,
that's the worst part, I think.
Yeah, and he's holding it bigs, and he's got his arm around the boy, and if this was any other context, looking at this thing. This guy knew exactly what he was doing. here's the problem. The statue is where he has placed the Eucharist and where he is pointing it at. It's basically at dick level, and it's pointing at the boy's mouth.
Yeah, he's getting a beach.
Yeah, small loaf of bread. He's holding it right at the boy's face.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even looking at the boy. He's just... looks like he's just trying to jerk it, and the boy's like, "I'll help."
Yeah, yeah. The sculptor knew exactly what he was doing.
It's like, if you wanted it to be him handing the boy a loaf, why is he not also on his knees?
Yeah,
like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This is
The principal once he got a look, and it says here, but upon arrival, the three-dimensional statue is deemed by the executive to be potentially suggestive. As a consequence,
oh, no kidding.
Was immediately covered. They just wrapped it in a big black blanket, and a local sculptor has been commissioned to redesign it.
That is fantastic.
It's like, yeah, don't do that.
And so now they just have this statue that's wrapped in a black blanket in the middle of the schoolyard.
Yeah. What I hope happens is that this new sculptor comes in and he redesigns it, and from the front it looks fine, but if you look from behind, he's basically fiddling the kid's ass. That would be just the best fuck you to the Catholic Church they could create right now.
I think after the first time, they'll probably be a little bit more diligent when they look at commission these things.
Yeah.
It's like you should be getting like drawings. Get smart first before...
Yeah, well, they did. In the drawing, it was probably okay. But not quite what they got.
Yeah. And this is supposed to be of St. Martin de Porres from Peru. Or no, Dominican. A Dominican brother.
Republic.
It just says Dominican, who is known for his tireless work for the poor and downtrodden in his native Peru.
Ah. Oh, he was a Dominican friar then. Okay.
Okay. Beatified by the Pope Pope Gregory the 16th in 1837, canonized by Pope John the 23rd in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just jerking it to a boy.
Better luck next time.
Yep.
And if you get one do over, then you just don't have a statue anymore.
Mm. All right. So Cards Against Humanity, everyone knows every year they do basically a prank on Black Friday. Mm-hmm. And they came out with their prank this year, and guess what their prank was? It was Prongles.
Yeah, these are actually in Targets. I don't know if there's any other stores, but people found these things. Like, what the hell is this? Because I think it was in the board game section.
Mm-hmm.
When you go and buy it, the receipt says CAH card game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So people were like, "Oh, is this Cards Against Humanity?" And there's all sorts of different things, but the website is really cool. Mm-hmm. Originalprongles.com. You can go down. There's a special theme song for the Prongles. you can download. And I want to say they had something like 6,000 downloads. So that's enough to get on the Billboard charts. But they had two flavors on store shelves, salt and potato, and onions and cream. And they're deliberately like spoofing every aspect they can. The catchphrase that's on these things, once you pop, that's great.
Yeah.
What else? They are doing a thing on the websites where they're having people vote for a next flavor, which includes trying to see if there's a link to that. I'll just go myself. There we go. Yeah, they play music right away. It's not a bad song, actually. I can't just mute it. Okay, whatever. Let's see. Yeah, salt and potato. They got great stuff here, as typical of the Cards Against Humanity stuff. Mm-hmm. The website is great. A lot of stuff on it. God, this volume shit is annoying on this site. The salt and potato says real potatoes, perfectly white salt. Onions and cream says a match made in heaven, tangy Malaysian onions slathered in thick white cream. So the vote is tacos and burritos versus whole fish versus America.
What's the America flavor?
It says George Washington would love this flavor of prongs. Currently, whole fish is in the lead, tacos and burritos, but I assume the internet has gotten hold of this site. Because it is at 585 million votes for whole fish, which says pulled fresh from the ocean, so you can eat it on a chip, which is pretty good. Tacos and burritos says this south of the border fiesta will explode in your mouth. Ay caliente. that's at 97 million. America is at 53. FAQ is great. Is this whole thing for real? Absolutely. You can buy Prongles right here on this website and at retailers nationwide. There's no links to buy it. It says they're sold out. Didn't you guys just launch a huge holiday promotion called Cards Against Humanity Saves America? We don't do that kind of stuff anymore. The whole prank around this is that they've given up on the board game industry and decided to just start making knockoff Pringles. Yeah, why are you doing this? Our research shows that the snack food industry is bigger and more profitable than the board games industry. Do any surprises come in a can of Pringles? The only thing that you get in each can is the fresh taste of potatoes and 100% white salt. But are there actual Cards Against Humanity cards in the Prongles? No, we don't make card games anymore. By the Prongles, expecting to get anything other than chips, will I be disappointed? We believe there's nothing disappointing about the unforgettable crunch of original Prongles. what's the deal with the hogs? Yeah, there's a warthog on the things, on the cans. That's Braden, the Prongles hog. Wild hogs are one of the only animals that will eat potatoes. Braden loves extreme sports and lives life at one speed. Whole hog. He also loves to cool down with the can of Prongles while hanging out with his best friend, Justin Bieber.
Okay.
I've popped. Now what? That's great. Are Prongles safe for my kids to eat? They're not only safe, they're downright nutritious. Mm. USDA now classifies Prongles as a fruit or vegetable. What type of onions do you use for the onions and cream flavor? Regular onions. What's the best way to eat Prongles? The classic way to eat Prongles is straight out of the can. Something a little classier, try stacking some on a plate before digging in. Cozy date night, try floating a few of those bad boys in a mug of hot cocoa for sweet and savory bliss. all of the chips in my container are pulverized. Prongles makes no guarantee the chip integrity following overseas shipment from Malaysia. I think I'm losing my mind. Sounds like someone needs a Prongle. They have like a guest book where people are leaving notes, maybe. It's down whenever I look. It has like, oh, one of the catchphrases for this thing is "Make America Crunch Again," which obviously,
yeah.
Oh yeah, Max Temkin was had a great thing on his Twitter account where Fox News interviewed them about this. They took his. The things he told them Yeah, in a statement to Fox News, Cards Against Humanity creators Max Temkin and Josh Dillon, now calling themselves the chief flavor officers at Prongles, have confirmed there is a political message to their new potato chips. Our bold flavors and edgy brand were heavily influenced by President Trump's original thinking and big ideas, say Temkin and Dillon. If you love President Donald J. Trump, we guarantee you will love the tangy onion and thick cream flavors of original Prongles. That's why we promise to make America crunch again. Temkin also told Fox News that the brand's mascot, Braden the Prongles Hawk, was inspired by the president, that the brand was inspired by his dynamic thinking and fresh ideas. He said, I cannot believe Fox actually ran this quote.
Well, it is Fox News we're talking about here. So
you're so easily trolled. I love it.
Yeah, they actually have these things on shelves for now.
Yeah, this is trolling that you can eat. Of course, it's not in Canada, so I can't find any of these, but...
Yeah, there's no Target where I live, so...
Yeah. That's happened. Bummer. Oh. Actually, you can order from Target online, so... That's a thing.
Yeah. So, next up, for those you don't know, recent... Huh?
I just don't think I want chips that badly.
Oh. Yeah, well, okay, so recently some of y'all maybe heard the Georgia Dome down here was being demolished.
Mm-hmm.
Because like most of these stadiums, they're basically scams.
Mm.
The Weather Channel was going to film it, you know, and show it on TV, and they had the perfect shot. And then, you know, they hit the detonator, and it just starts coming down, and then a bus runs in front of it and stops.
Just right there.
Yeah, the MARTA bus just pulls up. And if you listen to the audio on the video, you can hear the camera guy or the producer, whoever it is. It's like, no, get out of the way, bus. Fuck. Fuck the bus. Just cursing, and they bleep it, obviously. Yeah. Yeah, you see the explosion. The bus pulls up right in front of it as it's starting to go down. Yeah. Get out of the way, bus!
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah, there's also a Facebook app where you could put a MARTA bus in front of your profile picture.
One of the things the internet has done, they got a couple of tweets here. Sports Illustrated just took a lot of classic sports plays and just had the MARTA bus run right in front of it. Block whatever was happening.
Yeah.
As well as the Atlanta Hawks had a final score for one of their games and just parked the MARTA bus right in front of the score on the picture that goes with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, people have been having pretty good fun with the nice high quality shot of the MARTA bus as it's pulling it.
Oh god. Oh.
Yeah, they were streaming this. Says they were streaming it for 40 minutes. And no problems, and then the bus pulls right the wrong time.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on from there, we've got a couple of science-related story. So this week, what's actually a really big, actually a pretty big deal scientifically, we actually got the first interstellar visitor from another star outside of our solar system. Thing is, apparently Galactus decided to take a giant douche because it's basically a giant rock dick.
Yeah, of all the celestial bodies to be coming towards Earth,
yeah.
Fortunately, I don't think it's not like gonna collide with Earth.
No,
weird.
No.
It's just going to go through, be affected by the sun's gravity, and it'll slingshot it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, that's a very interesting formation of rock.
Yeah.
Yep.
But in all seriousness, this comes from outside of our solar system. So that in and of itself is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, being able to see how things might have formed in this other star system. Compared to how things formed here,
yeah,
will be interesting to see how their research goes with that. So they say here it's about 124 million miles from Earth, which
about
is
about 11 light years, I think.
Yeah, it's about the distance between Mars and Jupiter. It's up on a path about 20 degrees by the plane of planets that orbit the sun. It passed Mars' orbit around November 1st, will pass Jupiter's orbit in May, travel beyond Saturn's orbit in January 2019, and as it leaves our solar system, we'll head for the constellation Pegasus. They're calling this Oumuamua, O-U-M-U-A-M-U-A. I don't know if it has an explanation here of why it got that name, but probably some...
Yeah, there's probably some phallic joke in there. Yeah, there's...
Maybe.
But, yeah, that's...
It's moving about the speed of 59,000 miles per hour.
Hmm.
26.4 kilometers per second.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe NASA, like, sends up a probe to follow it or something. Maybe something they do.
Maybe. If they can get the money. Or
probe something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got two of NASA's telescopes, Hubble and Spitzer, are tracking the object this past week, week of the 20th, traveling about 85,700 miles per hour relative to the sun.
Yay, giant space dick.
Oh, which is Hawaiian for a messenger from afar arriving first.
Because I mean, it was a place in Hawaii that originally discovered it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, it doesn't mention that here.
Anyway, in other NASA news, so remember some time ago when the news was announced that there may be flowing water streaks on Mars?
Yeah.
Nope.
Kind of bums me out.
Turns out it wasn't actually water, it was sand.
Yeah. That's kind of a bummer. So, yeah, it looks like the Martian is actually still accurate now. So at least there's that.
Yeah.
And they still don't know how these flows are happening, but they do know that the way these streaks are going, that's the only thing that could be causing it.
All right. So... Next up, in stupid people being saved from doing stupid things. there is a guy in, what state is it? I don't know.
I think California.
California. It's apparently from the Desert Sun. Huh?
I would have lost that bet.
Yeah. Basically, this guy believes that the Earth is flat because, yes, those idiots still exist.
Yeah.
And he was going to prove this by flying in a rocket that he made himself.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he's not going to be able to do it because the Bureau of Land Management came in and put a stop to it.
Effectively saving his life.
Yeah. And just listen to some of the things this guy said. He's a real character. He's basically said that he doesn't believe in science. It's all lies. He believes in formulas. Science and formulas are not the same. There's no difference between science and science fiction. Because, of course, if you're one of those people to believe that the Earth is flat and just there's a giant conspiracy to hide that fact, then... Obviously, you'd be in the state of mind to think that all science is wrong.
Well, you'd have to get there to believe that the Earth is flat.
Yeah. And apparently, you know, it's a conspiracy that, you know, if you're in an airplane and you look out the window, you can see the curvature of the Earth. No, that's because the airline people who build the planes put curved glass into the windows to make it look like a curve.
Jesus Christ.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Then what about the International Space Station? They're actually above the Earth.
Yeah, but it's a lie.
Sometimes I really do worry about the state of humanity when there are people like this.
Let's remember that in a day and age of the internet, ignorance is a choice.
Yeah.
And if you still choose ignorance, Well, then, there's really nothing to be done.
Yeah, we really just have two words for you. Mm-hmm. Education, folks.
Yeah. All right, well, finally, our last story of the day. Oh, God. Japan. They're known for making just really just bizarre game shows. Just, I would love to have that job, just constantly coming up with new game shows for Japan
mm-hmm.
and get paid for it. Because I'm pretty sure you could come up with some great stuff. And we got a new one they just came up with. It's called Slippery Stairs.
Hmm. Yeah, what's the concept behind this one? Should be pretty self-explanatory.
Exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
What, they're trying to get up these set of stairs, and it seems like they've got some sort of like lubricant all over it.
Yeah.
And they tend have six guys, at least in the clips that are here, in colored onesies. It's like pink, orange, yellow, red, green, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's and they're Power Rangers. Trying to get to the top.
So they're discernible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And obviously being lubricated, they have a very hard time getting up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what happens is they all try to go up. Somebody gets up further. They slip and they take out all the others. And it's just a really fun show to at least watch these clips.
Yeah. It's a load of fun. For the record, and it needs to be pointed out, sometimes when you find game shows that are just a little too weird, like maybe have like a weird sexual angle to them, it's more often than not that's not actually a game show. It's just a porno video that is meant to look like a game show, because mm-hmm. that's like a whole porno genre over there.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, the one about that dude who's trying to sing karaoke while getting jerked off by a woman in a nurse's outfit and trying not to come.
Not a game show.
Not a game show. It's actually a porno vid.
Hmm. Yeah.
But
Japan has some really great game shows, though. This is the country that came up with Takeshi's Castle.
Yeah, that Takeshi's Castle, Ninja Warrior, which, of course, is... then,
wasn't
of course, they had
Hole in a Wall, Japanese thing for.
Yep, Hole in the Wall that originated there. They had an amazing game show. I forget what it was called, but they had one particular segment. It was sort of like a Japanese Price is Right, except it was all games and no like price guessing. And one of them ended up being the inspiration for Irritating Stick.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I
remember that.
If these companies were smart that were coming up with these shows, they would be talking to Netflix or Hulu or Amazon, get them up on there.
Give them time.
I remember seeing
on Netflix.
Hulu, this was years ago, they had a show that was it was essentially like thrift shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have a contestant give them like an itemized list of food to get under a certain amount of money, and they had to go mm-hmm. on like long trips on bikes or whatever, and they would go like all across Japan to get this stuff,
mm-hmm.
And then get back and have their food, all nicely priced and be able to eat dinner. That's how they got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a weird thing, but it was fun to watch.
Yeah,
so it kind of almost came off as like a dirty jobs kind of thing. Like, oh, here's this person's like challenge for mm-hmm. the day.
Yeah.
Of going out and getting this food for real cheap. And they would have like issues or try to go get the food at this one shop and it would be out or whatever. Mm. But it was like a fun little thing to watch.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it was called or anything, but
mm-hmm.
it was on Hulu at one point.
So, yeah, Japan. You make very strange game shows.
We'd like to watch.
Keep doing it.
Yep.
We'd like to have more than these weird Twitter or YouTube clips.
Mm. Mm. All right, well, I do believe we've got a show, folks. So I would like to remind our listeners, if you have a question you want to ask us, have something you want to write into the show, have something you want us to read on the air, or maybe some of your weird political manifesto or something, you can get to us via letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it on our show notes. Click the link. And also, on top of iTunes, you can also hear us at Apple Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and basically every place where informal shit shows like ours are produced. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Deloggi, I'd like to say good night. And the first person who punches Edge and Pie in the jaw gets $100 from me.